Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1. Zero and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hey everybody, what is up? And welcome back to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show for episode 9. Kate Hartley here, and hope this finds you well, whatever you are up to today. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. All have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. You're going to learn so much from her. And for those of you who need to stand up in front of an audience, whether it's for a board meeting, a class presentation, a TED talk, or as a keynote speaker, you are going to gain so many useful tips and strategies to help overcome those fears that ultimately turn your moment to shine into a moment of wishing you could have done better. My very special guest today is called Kate Lupo. Kate is a public speaking and visibility coach for rising star executives and entrepreneurs. Her signature program is called Master Your Message, and this helps executives conquer their fear of public speaking, develop their signature presentation, and become thought leaders in their field. The program also seeks to empower executives with the learning they need to master technologies to deliver their message online as well. With her first business, which was called EntryLevelHollywood.com, Kate has helped hundreds of college students and recent graduates land entry-level jobs at top companies in the entertainment industry. She has presented her signature workshop, Entry Level Hollywood, at Yale University, Dartmouth College, Georgetown University, Hamilton College, UCLA, UCLA Extension, Middlebury College, American University, Occidental College, University of California, Irvine, and so many more. When not speaking, teaching, or coaching, she enjoys attending lectures on New York City history and road tripping through the national parks. Kate is one of those people who just gets down in the trenches and takes action, while the rest of us are sat there procrastinating. She's out there spreading her word and helping to transform so many people's lives. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Kate Lupo. Kate, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Show, and how are you today?
Hi, Kate. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me. I'm having a great day. How about you?
Yay, really good. We've got sunny weather in the UK here today. What's your weather in New York like?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's probably like 67 and sunny, and I'm in beautiful Bryant Park in Manhattan. So it's a wonderful day today.
That sounds pretty good. So I'm so happy to have you on the show here today, and I'm really impressed with what you've been up to. You're such an action taker, and I just love that so much about you. Can you give people an idea of, say, kind of share your story, who you are, what your background is, and sort of, you know, in brief, what you're up to right now, and then we'll dig down deeper as the interview goes on?
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much for having me, and thank you for creating this platform to share information with other go-getters and entrepreneurs and people that really just want to go for their goals. So thank you, Kate, for creating this platform. Again, my name is Kate Lupo. Thank you all for having me. I'm 28 years old. I'm an full-time entrepreneur. Started my career as an entrepreneur as a career coach, actually. And actually, if we want to go back a step further, I graduated from Middlebury College in Vermont here in the U.S. in 2010. I actually graduated with a degree in art history, which has nothing to do with what I do now, but just so that you know a little bit more about me, I do have this kind of love of the arts, love of theater, love of all things related to visual and performing arts. And that actually does kind of feed into my love of public speaking in a funny way. I did grow up doing theater. I did grow up loving being on stage. So I graduated from Middlebury College in 2010, the degree in art history, and also when I was in college, I did, I have over 10 years of choral and a cappella experience, so again, that performing element, that performing in front of large crowds was always something I've loved to do, and I was also the business manager of my a cappella group, so it's interesting to kind of look back and see how my love of kind of being in front of people, but also my love of the behind the scenes and the business element was also there from the start. And so after I graduated college, I ran a small film festival, actually, in Connecticut, a state not too far away from Vermont. Is there anything I haven't done? I ran a small film festival for kids, so for international youth, and that was really exciting because as a 21-year-old, I was responsible, Kate, for raising $100,000,
goodness.
I did it. I know, and I did it. A lot of in-kind donations, a lot of fundraisers, and it was just kind of a first entrepreneurial experience for me to understand how do you interact with the public? How do you market your message? How do you get up in front of a crowd and get people to believe in you? And so that was a really amazing experience, and I got to we put on this wonderful festival for students all over the world in Connecticut. And that really lit my fire for the entertainment industry. And that, you know, caused me to realize I wanted to really see what Hollywood was all about. And I'd gotten this experience at the film festival. So I transitioned my life from the East Coast to the West Coast. I worked at one of the top talent agencies in Hollywood called ICM Partners. And I worked in the TV department there. And then kind of over the course of a few years, I did very well. I got promoted, actually, it's funny, if the listeners want to look this up, in Variety magazine, I became a top Hollywood assistant to watch. And if you see the photo on the article page, there are 10 of us there. So we were all in our kind of early 20s. Out of 10 people that were chosen for that, only two of us were women. And I'm still very close to the other lady that was chosen for that as well. While being at ICM and understanding how the entertainment industry worked from the inside out was an amazing experience, quickly realized that my goal in life is, I love, as you said in your wonderful intro, thank you, I love helping people. I love educating people. I love mentoring people. I love being in front of people. So I decided to move on from ICM a few years ago. And because I had this expertise of working in the industry, of getting into the industry at one of the top companies, I decided to start my own company called Entry Level Hollywood because it was a very organic thing. A lot of people were coming to me for help, asking me, oh, Kate, can, you know, my daughter's son's husband's wife's son wants to work in Hollywood. Can you give them some help? And I started mentoring people, and every single person I helped got hired in Hollywood. And so no one else, and this is the crazy part, Kate, is that nobody else was doing what I was doing. No one else was providing that kind of one-on-one mentorship for people that wanted to get hired in Hollywood. And I had really, really wanted to step into entrepreneurship for a while. And that's what really led me to start my first career coaching business, which is still going. I created an online course. I have lectured on the subject across the country at these wonderful schools. And it's been an amazing experience. And now, the reason, you know, I'm so happy to have met you is because I'm now kind of creating my next company, which is all about, as you mentioned, helping executives master the art of public speaking, conquer their fear, develop their signature presentation like I did with my first business, and bring it to, you know, Ivy League schools, top conferences, business organizations, et cetera. And I can't wait to kind of continue the work that I've done in helping what I call rising star executives kind of master their message, as my program is called. So again, thank you so much for having me. That's me in a nutshell, I guess.
My goodness, no, you've achieved so much, so young as well. I just love how much you're such an action taker. You just kind of go out there and grab life by the ghoulies and sort of turn it around and not only live it, but just thrive. And I love the way you're spreading your message with so many other folk as well, as particularly also at the beginning of the career ladder, because I think that's such a challenging time for so many, you know, new grads, and it's so difficult to get on that career ladder. But it sounds like you've had enormous success at getting them through, especially, you know, with your entry-level Hollywood business that you run.
Yeah, and I think I also have ambition to start entry-level U.S. because I just see it such a serious, I call it a vacuum between college and the real world, as I call it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're expected to pay rent, expected to pay taxes, expected to get your first job. And I know that I really felt like I was in a vacuum when I graduated from college, and I didn't have a job when I graduated. You know, I was lucky enough to, you know, take a month or two off and then get my first job. But a lot of people, they really need help, especially with interview prep skills, especially with networking skills. You know, I just have a natural born ability to hustle. That's
yeah.
something that we can talk about more later. I just, it's such an important skill that many people don't have. And it can, the good news is it can be taught, because it's all about mentality. And same with public speaking, it's all about mentality.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go out there and get a job, you have to be brave enough to reach out to people. You have to be able to have those communication skills and the politeness and the follow-up. And, you know, it's really, I say that the entry-level job hunt is really 50% mentality and 50% strategy. And as soon as I say that to young people, they relax, because they're like, oh my God, you know, I just thought I would always be bad at this. I'm like, no. It is strategy. It is strategic. I will teach you. And so that's really what I want to do, is kind of make that transition between college and the real world easier for young people. And that's what I've started to do. That's what I've done with Entry Level Hollywood for those interested in careers in entertainment. But I help people beyond entertainment as well. So.
Okay, well, yep. I'm sure there's lots of people out there, and I really encourage people to phone in and ask Kate questions if you've got any. So I'm just going to go over the number now. To ring in from the States, it's 646-716-7979. And if you're calling in from the UK, you need to add 001 before the number. So again, that's 001-646-716-7979, and I will repeat that again in a few minutes in the further into the show. So, Kate, is there anything that actually makes you nervous?
Let's see. That's a really good question. Anything that makes me nervous? You know what? This is one of my weaknesses as a public speaker is. When I open the floor for questions and I get a question that stumps me, that will sometimes give me a little blush in my cheeks. And I know this is something, you know, out there in the audience, if you ever get nervous or embarrassed when you public speak, a lot of people mention that their cheeks get red. And that's something that has happened to me in the past. It is something when I'm embarrassed, my cheeks get red. So if I'm caught off guard by a question that I have not prepared for, that does make me nervous. What other things make me nervous? Gosh, Kate, you've stumped me. Speaking of being stumped for questions.
Are you flashing?
And by the way, you have such a beautiful radio voice. I want you to know that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to try not to slur then. I'm going to try and articulate very well. Because, you know, public speaking, the weirdest thing is it ranks higher than any other phobia on the
exactly.
planet. And, you know, I remember you saying, and it's something that I've heard several times before, is that technically then that means people would rather be giving the eulogy at their own funeral than the one in the
yep.
casket. And, you know, that
Which
just sounds
crazy.
And so many people are negatively affected by it. So I think your course, Master Your Message, I'm sure you're just going to be so busy. You're going to be hiring so many people to come and help you run your business because, you know, it's such a huge issue. So, you know, say, for instance, if you get asked a question that stumps you, how do you then deal with your nerves?
Exactly. So what I would first say to give yourself some time, you kind of need to compose yourself. There's a little bit of theater here. And even I did it for you just now, if you recall. I said, that's a really good question. And I gave
yeah.
myself a little bit of time to react. You can pause for a second, and you can either say, you can either look the person in the eye and say, can you act, how about you and I connect afterwards? Because I need to think about that for a second. That is totally cool. You can tell, and the person will probably appreciate it if you look them in the eye and tell them you want to connect with them one-on-one. You can say, I don't have a great answer for you right at the second, but if you and I connect afterwards, I'd love to speak with you one-on-one. That is a completely acceptable answer. And then if you, you know, typically something will come to me, but that is a really beautiful way to give yourself a get out of jail free card.
That's a great idea, because it also makes people feel like you're spending extra personal time with them. So in a way,
yeah,
they kind of want to ask you a question that does stump you, because then they get you one-on-one as well,
yeah,
which I should think is even more valuable than having you on the podium.
That's so funny. Yeah.
With Master Your Message, if I signed up today, for instance, what would I expect from the course?
Absolutely. So Master Your Message, I designed it to be a four-month program. The first month of the program, it really takes you from the very beginning. You know, I'm really targeting people, and by targeting, I mean I'm excited to work with people who are rising star executives, whether they are working at a larger company or they're creating their own company, and they're ready to take their career to the next level. They're ready to get out of the shadows. That's what I say on my website. There's so many people who are so smart and they're just in the shadows. They prefer to be in the shadows, but there's so many people whose messages could really help a lot of people. And a lot of these executives out there know this, but they're just so worried and scared of public speaking that they delay kind of this element of their personality, this element of their career that could be, as per the name of this TV, of this show today, could be flourishing. So
yes,
it's really taking somebody from the beginning, helping them break through those mental barriers that create the nervousness around public speaking. So the month, and taking them from conquering the fear, then practicing, then mastering their message. You know, what is it that they are, what is their expertise? How can it help people? How can we be bringing in more visibility and more clients through this message? And then kind of the fourth element here is then creating a plan for the executive as a speaker to launch themselves as a thought leader using this program that we've created. So month one is all about mentality. You know, I'm a big mentality person, like I said, with the career coaching that I've done, same thing. In any big goal that you have, in any pursuit that you're reaching for, you have to have the right mentality. So for public speaking, the first month of the program is really very personal. And it's one-on-one coaching with me where we get really down into the nitty-gritty of, you know, where does this nervousness stem from? A lot of people tell me, they're told as a kid that, you know, children should be seen and not heard. And that really affected them as young people. And now as adults, they don't want to speak because as a child, they were conditioned to think that they shouldn't talk. Some people just feel serious judgment. They're really afraid of judgment from their peers. So I help unravel that month one. Month two is all about practicing. My style as a coach is I'm very tough love, but I'm also your biggest cheerleader. So it's a good combination because I'm not going to coddle you. I'm going to tell you what you need to do, but I'm also going to cheer you on as you do it. So we'll practice together. And then month three is all about building that signature presentation. You know, I want people to come to me who are really rising star experts in their field. You know, I've worked with people who, for example, my star client, Justin, he is a rising star marketing executive, and he is one of the top people in his field for kind of social media influencers. He basically created his own agency where he manages and represents stars on you know, Instagram and YouTube, and you know, they're called social media influencers, and they have a lot of power now because they have these huge, you know, multi-million people audiences. And he was, you know, being asked to give presentations at major conferences and in boardrooms, and he would just never feel good about the way he was presenting his material. It's really exciting stuff, you know, social media, celebrities, influencers, and he just felt so boring, and he just felt like his message was not being portrayed the right way. So to go back to the program, in month three of the program, kind of like how I helped with Justin, it's all about honing your message, making it engaging, making it exciting. And to do that, you really have to hone into your personality and add some humor to it. I'm all about humor in public speaking. Self-deprecating humor can be really effective for all those listeners out there that are looking for tips. Saying anecdotes, saying funny stories about working with your clients, telling an amazing, you know, out-of-the-box story that happened. People love stories. And if you can make it more like a fireside chat when you're speaking with people and less like a formal robotic presentation where we're all robots, nobody wants a robotic thing. People want engagement. People want to feel like they can trust you and they want to hear stories. So as soon as I gave Justin, my star client, permission to open up about these sorts of things, he instantly became less nervous. He became more relaxed. And then, kind of mirroring his journey in month 4 of the program that I've designed, it's all about taking that newfound confidence in your message, that ease you now have with it, and building a plan for you to then launch as a public speaker and be presenting this presentation to larger audiences. So month 3 is all about mastering the presentation, mastering the message that you have, whether it's going to be in person or even online. I do a lot of online presentations with webinars and webinar technology, and I am very excited to teach people how to do that as well. And then in month 4, as I said, it's all about creating your kind of the next steps plan for you as a speaker. Where should you be speaking? Where is your ideal audience going to be? My ideal audiences were at top colleges and universities for my first business, so that's who I targeted. So that's the 4 months of the program. And it's also included in the program is guidance around creating your speaker's reel, which is a very important element to becoming a public speaker full-time. You need to have a beautiful 3 to 4 minute video of yourself speaking in front of an audience, and you need to edit it with some nice inspirational music at the bottom, you know, a nice title, a nice ending. And I created mine, Kate, just using iMovie. And it was really, really easy. But some people may need some additional help. So I'm also going to be able to, in my program, I want them to walk away from the program with everything I mentioned here and also a beautiful speaker's reel and, you know, an entire plan for themselves moving forward.
I don't think anything exists like what you're offering, because you're going from the mentality, which I suppose most people associate, certainly as a therapist, me, I associate a fear of public speaking very much with mentality, but also because you're helping them overcome, obviously, their self-sabotaging beliefs, their mental roadblocks, but then you're actually practicing the presentation with them. So they get to do dummy runs, and the fact that you're actually helping them create their signature presentation, that actually made me think about something. Could somebody come to you who doesn't have an idea for a signature presentation but just wants to improve their presentation skills, Pat? So, you know, like, for instance, I'm creating a webinar at the moment. If I came to you and said, hey, Kate, can you help me you sort of up the ante with my webinar, and then perhaps when I've got a board meeting in a couple of months, can you help me deliver that more appropriately and more effectively with a, you know, sort of lift it up and give it some pizzazz? Is that the sort of thing that you can help people with as well?
Yeah, but in both of those instances, for your webinar, you have a message that you're mastered. I would be helping you with the mastery of the message as well for both. I mean, I guess it's a good question, because for people who might not be giving, you know, super long presentations to start, but, for example, may be asked to speak for a little while in board meetings or in, you know, there are a lot of executives out there that want to get promoted as well, who really want that promotion, and the people above them that are great in meetings are going to get that promotion. So there are people out there, this was another reason why some of my first clients came to me, was that they just were terrible in board meetings. They were bad at presenting information. They were bad at presenting updates. And that is something that people can come to me for help with as well. Yes. And it also, I'm very accommodating as a coach. So if there are people that come to me and, you know, yes, they want to do master their message and in the 4 month program, or if there are people that want to come to me for a shorter program and just have a certain idea that they're practicing for, it's something that I'm very open to. I want to be able to help people at different stages. But the idea of seeing somebody go from, you know, nervous, unsure of themselves to confident, collected, poised, that's what I love. So I'm very open to working with people at different levels.
I love the fact that you're so flexible. Just on that note, how is it best for people to contact you if they want to approach you with regards to either master your message or more of a sort of bespoke smaller plan?
Sure, yeah, people can email me. My email address is Kate, K-A-T-E, at katelupo.com. That's L-U-P like pencil O. So you can email me. My website is katelupo.com. It has all the information about Master Your Message on it. And there's also there's a contact box on my website as well. But email is best.
Fantastic. And I'll also make sure I share all of your links to in the show notes as well. So I also, with your Master Your Message, I love the fact that you're teaching people the tech, because I think that's such a stumbling block for so many people. You know, they may have learned the presentation skills and they may have an absolutely cracking signature presentation, but then they fall at the last hurdle because they don't know how to put it together how to say, for instance, the demo reel that you do with them. You know, that's going to then introduce them to that technology. And I think a lot of people have that fear that, you know, you've got to hire a professional videographer and you need professional audio and this and that. But like you said, you did yours on iMovie.
Yeah, I honestly believe that if you embrace technology and don't fear technology when you're building your business, I mean, embracing technology has been one of the number one things that has gotten me to where I am today. And for all of you guys out there that might be tech averse or afraid of tech, just see it like riding a bicycle. Practice every day, and I swear to you, with just daily practice, you will get better, and it will be so empowering for you. And quite frankly, yeah, with building my demo reel, I spoke at UC Irvine in California, and I asked them if they would be willing to hire a student videographer to video my talk, because I was speaking for free. And by the way, everybody, in the beginning of your speaking career, you're often speaking for free so that you can get those credentials under your belt. And I just politely asked if they'd be willing to video my talk because I was speaking for free and I would really appreciate it. And they said yes. So I had that video after my talk, and that was worth gold to me. That was more than gold to me. And so I took that video and then I simply popped it into iMovie, fiddled around with it, didn't beat myself up if I made a mistake, maybe something got deleted at one point. Yes, it was frustrating, but keep going. So then I edited it and it was really pretty. And I was really proud of myself. And you'll have these little successes along the way with technology. But if you're somebody that has not embraced technology for your business yet, it's time to embrace it. And I'm challenging all of you to embrace it. And don't be afraid of messing up. Just keep going. Keep practicing every day. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And also, you know, sticking our head in the sand isn't going to do anyone any favors. It kind of keeps you stuck there. And it's such a waste as well, because people have got these huge talents. And it's so important to get out there and use technology to share it.
And you know what? Also, I think a lot of people encourage you to hire people to help you build things. There are certain things, yes, you need people to help you with. But I'm going to give some examples here. I hired somebody because I thought this is like you had to hire someone to help you with your website. Like when you're an entrepreneur, you have to hire somebody. Well, guess what? I was going to pay someone $3,000. I'm just going to be upfront and honest here. And as I was working with her, I realized I work so much quicker than the lady that I hired, and it was very frustrating to me. And I want to have complete creative control over what I'm doing, at least in the beginning, and I want to save money. So I ended up no longer working with her because we parted amicably. But I want to share this because I encourage you to take ownership, at least in the beginning, of all the technical elements of building an online business, if that's what you're interested in. And so, you know, Kate and I discussed how I'm currently using Squarespace for my website. It's a really great platform to help entrepreneurs and, you know, anybody who wants to create a very simple website that's very user-friendly. And there's so many interesting technologies being brought into the forefront right now that are helping people like me and can help you as well. So I would just say it's kind of a myth that you should hire out, but I encourage you to take ownership and take the steps to learning it yourself, and then you'll be even more empowered and you won't be beholden to somebody. That's the other element here.
Oh, I just think that so makes so much sense, Kate. Hey, I think we may even have a caller on the line. Let me just see who we've got that here, just to say, yeah, I know, that's so cool. Let me just connect this caller. Hi, have I got a caller on the line?
Hi, yeah, I'm Ella.
Hi, Ella. You're talking to Kate Hartley and Kate Lupo. Ella,
two Kates.
You sound quite young. Two Kates. Woohoo! What's your question, Ella?
Well, today I had to give a speech, and I got very nervous. I started shaking and chipping over my words. And I was wondering if you had any tips or any special magical way to deal with nerves and things along those lines.
Absolutely. And this is really kind of at the core of the mentality work that I want to do with people. And by the way, Ella, thanks so much for asking your question. You rock. So basically, if you are nervous when you are public speaking, there are a couple things that are most likely happening in your head. The first is a lot of people are very afraid of judgment. They're afraid of being judged by their audience. So is that something that you struggle with? What's going on in your head when you first start to give your speech? Are you afraid that people are judging you?
I'm worried I'll mess up.
You're afraid that you're going to mess up. And the other thing, when you gave the speech, who was the speech for? What was the content of the speech?
It was to become a senior prefect for next year, and it was in front of all my sixth form, basically, and the teachers. So,
I'm sorry, can you say that again, or Kate, can you help? I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing her.
Yeah, it was in front of her sixth form students and the teachers that she had to give a presentation to in order to be promoted as a prefect.
Promoted as a prefect. Okay, gotcha. And what were you presenting on? Was it kind of your progress as a teacher, Ella?
No, it was to show your abilities and why you think you'd make yourself a good prefect.
Gotcha. Okay, I see. So there are two parts here. First of all, you're in front of your peers. It's scary because you're afraid you're going to mess up and they're going to judge you in some way. So you're dealing with that. And the other part of it is that, and I'm going to give you a little bit of tough love here, but it's going to be good for you. I think if you're nervous when you're speaking, it means that you, Ella, are not 100% confident in your abilities, even though you've had this incredible, you've had this great impact on your students, you're ready for the next step. You want that promotion, don't you?
Yeah.
Good. So what I'm going to tell you is that we're going to turn your mentality around. This is what you need to do. Instead of focusing on what they're thinking about you, you have to believe in your bones that you are a great teacher, that you've had so many success stories. Think of all the kids in your class that have blossomed under your leadership. The more you can think about the actual facts, the success stories that you, Ella, have had and how you've changed somebody's life, the more confident you're going to become because you know that you have made a difference. As soon as you realize that your message can make a difference in somebody's life, that is what's going to take you away from the nervousness and towards a place of confidence. So next time you stand up, instead of thinking, oh my God, like, everyone's going to be judging me, I'm shaking, whatnot. Instead, be confident thinking of the kids that you've helped and be so excited and actually proud to share their stories with the audience. When you're grounded in actual real-life stories of success, that will be unshakable for you. And that will help you show that to your audience because can you tell me a story right now about a student that you've helped become, you know, a better student over the past year, for example?
Yes, there's this one student who had very low self-confidence issues, and just being able there to be able to talk and be an emotional support and anchor, they really blossomed and have really grown into their person. So there is that there.
Yeah, and so do you feel? And you feel really proud of how you helped this student, right?
Yeah, incredibly so.
And you feel like you can use that story and what you learned from that to help others, correct?
Yeah, you can go into other practice with the other students.
Good.
Yeah.
And so what I want you to do next time you talk, and if there's a new, another presentation coming up, is I want you to take ownership. You have your own special sauce. I call it special sauce, Ella. I have my own special sauce. You, the way you help that one student is your own method. And I want you to feel proud of that. And I want you to feel like you're an you have an expertise. This is something that is helping young people. You're going to use it to help others. And this is why you deserve the promotion. You deserve the ability to take this and help more people. So in the end, it's shifting you from the fear mindset to the generosity mindset. You see what we just did? When you take it away from being judged to saying, oh, my God, I have so much to offer, and I'm going to tell you how I've helped people already and how I plan to help people in the future, that's when you become a great speaker.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Such a good point there, Kate, as well. Ella, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's completely changed the way I see things.
Anytime you feel nervous, just think to yourself, how can I be helping people with what I'm presenting right now? How can I be sharing a story about how this has helped others? Always think of the word generosity in big capital letters. How can I make this presentation from a place of generosity here? Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That makes so much sense. Thank you.
Great job.
Thank
Great
you
job.
So much.
Keep it up.
Thanks for calling in, Ella. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm sure you gave her lots and lots of really helpful tips there. Do you know what? It makes such sense, so much sense when you think, you know, when we stand up there, we're thinking, it's scary, and your overriding thoughts are of fear and, like you say, of judgment and am I going to make a complete mess of this? And actually, if you come from a position of sharing and generosity, it entirely changes your whole psyche and mental setup. That's such a clever idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And another thing, if Ella's still listening as well, is I always tell people before you even get into your presentation, you need to thank your audience. And that goes hand in hand with the generosity element. You say with a big smile, thank you so much for having me here today. Thank you so much for inviting me. And as soon as you say thank you, you'll see in the audience's faces, they'll start smiling. And instantly the energy of the room will change, and you have to prime your audience. You cannot just go straight into your talk. You have to have a warm and friendly environment before you speak. And the words thank you, I can't tell you how – that's the most magical words in the English language for creating an environment.
Underutilized occasionally.
Yes, underutilized is true. Mm-hmm.
But I agree, and I think also when you were mentioning about telling stories, again, people connect with stories, don't they? They love anecdotes, and, you know, I find if I'm listening to, like, a TED Talk or something, and I might be sort of doodling or doing something in the background, and then they tell a story, and I find I'm absolutely hooked on it. And similar with podcasts, if I'm listening to one of the podcasts, and then I kind of, my brain go, you know, my sort of mind meanders down another little rabbit hole, and then all of a sudden they tell a story, and I'm in there, and I'm focused, and it really, really grabs my attention.
Exactly. And I think that people sometimes think, and I don't know if it's because of the movies or what we see on TV, that public presentations need to be dry and boring and just devoid of humor or personality. And I'm trying to dispel that myth. I'm trying to show people, you know, here are examples of amazing talks. You know, here are examples, exactly, of bringing in anecdotes, of bringing in your personal vulnerability. And that's what connects with people. That's when people listen up, exactly like you said. You can be going through facts and figures, but if you can have a story to back it up, that's when people will actually remember the information.
Absolutely. It's so, so true. Now, I know you, I want to go back to other questions too, but I was very intrigued about your favorite quote by Melody Moezy. Do you want me to say what your quote is, or can you remember it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's, people will chronically underestimate you, let that be your fuel. So what made you choose that particular quote out of interest?
Oh, man, it gives me chills every time I hear it. I'm sure there are people in the audience that can relate. I wonder if you can relate too, Kate. But I just feel like throughout my even kind of end of college, early adult life, you know, I hate saying it, but it is true. I feel as though as a woman, especially a woman who has wanted to, that has really big goals and wants to achieve big things, I have been sometimes scoffed at or laughed at or, you know, oh, you're so cute, sort of a thing, mostly from men. And I tell you, and the first time this really happened to me was my senior year of college. I wanted to create a huge 2,500 square foot outdoor art installation on campus. And I had to raise $25,000 to put it together. And I wanted it to be my lasting legacy at my college. And when I first proposed the idea to the president of the school, to his credit, he gave me permission to do it. He thought it was a wonderful idea, and I was really pleased. But then when I had to get the permission of the head of the art department, I will never forget it as long as I live, he told me that the idea was a bad idea, that it was I would never achieve it, and that he was not supporting me. And he said it in a very harsh way. And I looked at him and I said, I'm so sorry you feel that way, but I'm going to push this through no matter what.
Good for you.
So that was the first time I had to stand up to a man or an authority figure in that way, but it was a man, and say, listen, I'm going to do this. And actually him telling me no, that I couldn't do it, made me want to prove him wrong times 1,000. And now the mural is up there. It's been up there for close to 10 years or 7 years now. And it's a beautiful, it's a part of the permanent art collection of Middlebury College. And there's a plaque with my name on it at the school.
Wow.
So it's like, and you know what, that's just one of so many stories I can share of people, men and women in positions of power that have tried to dim my fire and have told me kind of, have told me to oh, slow down, Kate, simmer down, Kate. Oh, you can't do that. That's impossible. And then when they underestimate me, like I said, it just gives me that fire to prove them wrong. And it's worked every single time. It just gets better and better. So in a way, these experiences are not positive when they first happen, but in a way, I'm thankful for them because they've just encouraged me to keep pushing every step of the way.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, you're right, little rebel. It's I just love the fact that you just keep going. And do you know what? I think you probably find that although they're in positions of power, you know, you don't know how they got there. And I would imagine they're feeling quite intimidated by this young upstart who is just like so so energetic, and you're so impassioned about what you want to do. I love that so much. I really hope you continue to keep putting people in power out of their comfortable seats.
Yeah, and you know, it's something where physically I'm a very tall person. I'm almost 6 feet tall, and I'm a tall, lanky person, and I have a big personality. And I do believe that at certain points in my early adult life here that I can be intimidating to those that are in power. And at first I asked myself, you know, is this part of what life is all about? You have to kind of dim your fire. You have to, you know, to a certain extent, you have to pay your dues. You have to simmer down, and you have to learn, and you have to be able to be humble. But then when you've mastered something and you're ready to really help people, don't let anyone dim your fire. You know, surround yourself with people that do believe in you. And I have to say,
absolutely,
it's been harder than I would have ever imagined to find people who truly, who support me no matter what. And, you know, and I talk about this with other entrepreneurs. It can be hard, especially when, you know, you come from a family that entrepreneurship is not really bread in the bone. It's very strange. It can sound very alien to people. Oh, you know, I'm starting an online business. It sounds very weird to people. And I've had a lot of, one of the things I've struggled with is you have to build a community of people around you that understand what you're going through and that support you. And so as much as you can, if you are, join a mastermind, join a Facebook group, join an in-person community where you can be talking shop, as I say, with others that are working towards the same goals, because that is just, it's just so important. It's something that I've struggled with, and something that I'm finally trying to remedy and work on in my own professional life. And, you know, working with people that don't underestimate you but are cheering for you along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the sort of advent of social media has made it so much easier for women or any, I shouldn't call us a fringe group, but, you know, any aspect of society where we can be marginalised and, you know, we still don't earn the same as men in similar roles. And, you know, look at the tennis players even, you know, the sports people, it still happens to them as well. And it seems crazy. But I think with the advent of social media, it gives us that opportunity, that platform where we can connect with like-minded souls. And, you know, it might be hard to find the right ones for you, but ultimately I think they are out there. Am I right? Are you part of another mentoring group as well? Or do you have your own mentor group too that you associate with?
The mentor group that you and I share, Kate, is my main one.
Yeah.
But I am looking into others as well. Because I think, you know, it's something that has had a very positive impact on me over the past couple months. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also you can sort of drill down, you can splinter off those mental groups too when you've got a few like-minded souls. And I think it makes it much easier. It gives you a great platform to meet other people with a similar interest or even different interests, but similar passions and similar drives. And it just helps keep you accountable, I think, when you're in a group of like-minded, ambitious, passionate women. You know, it's a safe place, and I think women en masse, we can be very supportive of each other. And I love it. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, that's how I met you, and I'm just absolutely overjoyed that I met you that way. It's just super.
Yeah, me too. Vice versa.
Mutual Kate love going on here. Now, Kate,
mutual
Kate
awesomeness. I love that.
We've got just a few minutes left. Kit, tell me, so what are your top three insights, would you say, that you'd like to share with the Flourish and Thrive listeners today?
Top insights about public speaking or starting a business or life in general?
Yeah, I'd say public speaking. Let's stay in line with Master Your Message, yeah.
With public speaking, top three insights to get people out of the gate would be kind of a lot of what I discussed with Ella. Number one, it's all about your mentality. So if you're coming at public speaking from a place of nervousness and fear, it's most likely because you're afraid of being judged and you're not 100% sure of what you're really offering your audience. If you can shift your mentality away from nervousness and towards a generosity mindset where you know that what you're about to present your audience is going to change their lives in some way, or at the very least make them smile, that is when the magic will happen. So shift your mentality away from fear of judgment and towards how can I really be presenting something that's going to help somebody?
Yeah.
How can I share a story that's going to help hammer this point home in a way that's going to really leave a lasting impression? So shifting it to a generosity mindset. Number two, it's very simple, like we talked about. You need to prime your audience. So before you even begin speaking, you have to thank your audience. Thank them. Tell a funny story. I love to tell a story in the beginning. And again, self-deprecating humor can be very funny in the beginning of a talk. If you can make your audience smile and laugh before you even begin to present your information, you've won. You know that.
Yeah.
And by winning, I mean it's going to be all downhill from there in a good way. It's going to be a good thing for you. You've primed your audience. They're ready to receive your message. And then the third part of all this is, you know, this is a little bit of tough love, but there's so many people out there, and I'm sure there's some of you listening out there that, like I said before, you've been comfortable in the shadows. Like you've had a good career, you've done well, but you've purposely just kind of stayed under the radar. And I want to challenge you to really think about how what you offer the world can be helping so many more people. And that you should embrace this power of public speaking to help a larger audience. And I want to challenge you to get out of the shadows and into the spotlight where you can help so many more people, because there are so many people out there that need hope, they need inspiration, they need advice, they need guidance. And if you have words that can help someone live a better life, that is worth so much. And yeah, you could give money to a cause, you could give money to an organization, but giving a speech that could uplift somebody's life, uplift somebody into another very hopeful part of their lives, that's worth so much more, in my opinion. So I want to challenge you, if you've been afraid up until now to to master your message, to spread it to a larger audience, it's time for you to rethink that and think about how you can start helping people.
I love that. So sort of in essence, one is be generous, share your story. The second one is prime them by thanking them. And three is tough love and get out of those shadows. So embrace public speaking.
Yep. Embrace it. It is one of the most powerful tools we have.
And also, I think probably the more people practice it, is I guess they get better as they practice it more. Is that right?
Absolutely. The more you practice, the better. And especially if you practice with an expert, somebody who can give you that feedback, the better. But if you're somebody, though, that is interested, you know, a lot of people can even just start at a very minimal level by, for example, if you're at a dinner party, and you know how people typically do, a toast at a dinner party. Mm. You could maybe perhaps be, you know, volunteer to give a 30-second toast, you know, thanking your hostess, for example. That's one tiny way to start practicing. Maybe you've never done it before, and now you can. Maybe you go to church or synagogue or your house of worship, and you volunteer to be one of the readers at church. That's a great way to practice. My dad did that, actually, when he was trying to get better at public speaking. He would read in our Sunday services. Also, if you have if there is a school nearby where you live that teaches comedy classes or improvisation classes, that's a great way also to get yourself up and running. And those are typically so much fun, and a lot of people do that to kind of get themselves out of their comfort zone and practicing with a group.
And do you attribute your sort of move into this career but from your early days as an a cappella singer and a choral singer? Do you reckon that all came from there?
You know, what's so funny is that I've just always had this natural born desire to perform and to be in front of an audience. It's just been with me my whole life. And I did theater as a kid. That transitioned into a cappella singing and choral singing. And I just love it. I just love the high of being in front of people, of performing. And yeah, that definitely, I think, definitely a huge part of it is the reason why I'm a public speaker now.
You know, actually, I think the fact that if you're singing as part of a choir, that's another great way for people to gain more confidence, because singing is so emotive. I mean, it just, if I'm ever in a funk, if I'm in the dumps or whatever it is, I'll sing and it gets me out of it. And I feel sorry for the neighbors that might be listening, but it's just great. It's so powerful. And, you know, when you all sing together as well, I used to be in the operatic society as a child, and we used to have so much fun. And when the shows were on and, you know, you're on the stage and you're all singing this rousing song and it's so energetic. And I think that must be also for people that are chronically shy or chronically just dreading getting up on a stage to join something like a choir or an operatic society or a theatre group, just to try and build that confidence as the next stage onto taking the stage as possibly a keynote speaker in the future.
Absolutely. Singing, I'm so happy to hear that you also enjoy choral singing, because
there's
something
singing.
So magical to me about being in harmony with, you know, 100 other voices. There's nothing like it on the planet. And if you're not the greatest singer in the world, you can join a community chorus, no problem. There's so many. And to have the joy of standing up with other people that you trust and performing, I think that's a great idea, Kate. And it'll also bring you happiness, because singing is a happy,
so
very,
amazing.
Very happy activity. Yeah.
Oh, it is. And so just a quick question. What does living your best life mean to you?
Living my best life, and the reason I began entrepreneurship in the first place, is a capital F freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom to do what I want, when I want, for whom I want, and the freedom to design my life. So freedom is huge for me, whether that's freedom in my schedule, financial freedom, and also living my best life includes philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
So my ultimate, you know, my career goal with all of this is to be able to be successful enough to be a full-time philanthropist someday. And that's my... You know, maybe this is a crude analogy, but that's my carrot at the end of the stick. That's what I, every day I wake up, I think about that. That's what's driving me forward. So, yeah.
In what
so
way
freedom,
you come in involved with your philanthropy? Yeah, I agree. I get freedom. That's my number one value. Well, number two, health is the first one, but then, you know, that sort of drives down into freedom anyway. But sort of philanthropy, what sort of thing in particular really interests you?
I want to be a philanthropist in particular in arts and education. So if I can be, for example, sponsoring after-school arts programs, theater, singing, talent shows, you know, movies directed by young people, you know, any program that's really making a difference in the lives of young people, especially young people in need, that's really interesting to me. I also really love to be a patron of museums, and in particular, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York is my personal mecca.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to be a donor there in a much larger way. And then I have a very soft spot for my high school, Hopkins School in New Haven, Connecticut, which is my beloved, beloved high school. And I really want to be I have this dream to be on the board someday and be able to donate in a big way there. And it's just it's such a wonderful place that inspires learning on every level. And then and then education, you know, not only arts education, but how do we bring the United States, we have such incredible colleges and universities here, but our high school, you know, high school education in this country is not very highly ranked. You know, how can I help with that? I believe education is such a huge, important thing for the future of the United States and the future of the world. So those are the things that I'm really interested in.
Oh, I just say Donald Trump, watch out.
Yeah, you know what?
I
actually
make
have
a great
to say,
president.
you're so sweet, and you're not the first person that said that. That is so sweet. But what I'm going to say is that, listen, I believe that one of the reasons that Donald Trump won the presidency in the U.S. is because he is, for better or for worse, an effective public speaker. Is he the best one that's ever been? No. Is he effective in what he does? Absolutely. He was able to fire up a segment of the American population and speak to them in a way that made them feel heard. And I'm telling you, I believe that that's one of the primary reasons why he won. And unfortunately, Hillary Clinton has never been, I mean, she's one of the most incredible, you know, she's one of the most, you know, illustrious politicians in U.S. history, but she has never been the strongest public speaker. So when I say that public speaking, we need to be teaching it more, we need to be embracing it more, this is going to be, you know, the future leaders of the world. You have to have this gift, and if you don't have it, you have to work on it. So I did want to make that point when we're talking about the importance of public speaking and the greater good.
I just think that's so important, actually. And, well, you know, I mean, look back at the 1940s. There was a great orator there, and he massacred the majority of the Jewish race. So, you know, and that's down to his speaking skills. And, you know,
he is one of the most powerful. Yeah, and, you know, Adolf Hitler is was one of the most powerful orators, correct. And it's you know, it's hard to say out loud, but it's true. And
yeah.
If you have that fire in you, I hope you're using it for good and not for evil.
Absolutely.
But I do want to bring that up because public speaking can be a source. It's a very powerful tool, and it can be used for good and for bad. But, you know, want to be encouraging people to strive for the goodness, of course.
That's right, people. Master Your Message is purely for positive purposes. So,
and not for dictators.
No, exactly.
No dictators allowed in this program. Thank you.
She'll boot you off.
Yeah.
So, Kate, we're running sort of in the last couple of minutes now. So, I'm just so excited to see what you do with Master Your Message this year and for the coming years ahead. Just remind us, what are your contact details? How can we find you again?
Absolutely. So, my website is at www.katelupo, that's K-A-T-E-L-U-P like pencil O, .com. And my email address is kate@katelupo.com. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. kate@katelupo.com. And that's how you guys can check out my program, reach out to me, ask me questions.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I'll be sure to link it up in the show notes for today's episode. I appreciate you. I've just loved this interview so much. Thank you so much for coming on. And God, great job with everything you've done. And I'm so excited to see how everything's going to work out for you. You are really going to be taking over the world and transforming it for good. I love the fact that you help people gain access to a world which can literally catapult their careers once they get onto the stage and begin to own it. Of course, all links for Kate and her course, Master Your Message, me and this interview will be posted on my Flourish Therapy Facebook page. And you can find that at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. Thank you so much, Kate, for being my guest on the Flourish and Thrive show today. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for being here. This was episode 9 of Flourish and Thrive with me, Kate Hartley of flourishtherapy.co.uk. Kate Lupo was my inspiring guest, and you can find out more about her at katelupo.com. And until next time, goodbye from both Kates.
Thank you so much, Kate, and thank you to everyone in the audience.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a delight to talk to you.
You as well.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.